Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You will say that.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
Lindsay and I went to a show last night. It was really fun. Actually, we went the afternoon.
Live music is back, honey, and this was perfect. I was so happy to be seeing live music again.
It was so nice to be at a show with your friend. Here's a clip. We took it with our own cameras. You could hear myself and Lindsay screaming at the end of
that.
It was really
cheering.
Fun.
We're wearing our BB merch. Where was the concert again? What was that little park called?
It was in Willow Creek. It was in like Magnolia Park in Willow Creek, I believe.
Got it. We went to a festival in Magnolia Park in The Sims.
Well, it was in Magnolia Blossom Park in Willow Creek. We live in the Sim City Living expansion. What's the name of that town?
I love living in a Sim City expansion.
We live in San Myshuno. San Myshuno is where our apartment is, the big apartment that we live in.
The best part of this is that right before we were getting ready to go to the concert, I was looking at the fireplace we have. We have two fireplaces, one's in the bedroom, one's in the living room. I was looking at it and I caught on fire. So I had to rush to, well, I was set on fire. And then Bobby had to put me, I had to run upstairs.
We have a big apartment.
And then I had to take a bath because I was, of course, disgusting because I'd been on fire for minutes. And
then I cleaned the carpet.
Right. And this was right before the BB concert. I was like worried that we weren't going to make the BB concert because it was like the next day, you know?
The Sims 4 is wild. Lindsay was just like sitting next to me at my apartment, just like losing her mind, giggling at this game. It has changed. It changes.
There's too many things you can do. When you cook, you can make like so many different recipes and you can make them family style. Like that was not an option before.
I made eggs and toast while you bathed because you were dirty from your fire.
Then I came down. And instead of getting eggs and toast, I made a burger.
You started grilling. I literally made a family serving of eggs and toast. I was about to make fruit salad, but I ran out of time. And Lindsay comes strolling down the stairs and just opens the grill and started making burgers. And
I just don't know.
I understand free will, but like...
I would never do that in real life. I would never, ever do that in real life. I think our apartment's just so big that I didn't notice that you had made food. My Sim.
We lived in it was a $5,000 a month apartment in The Sims 4.
Insane.
No, $5,000 a week. It's weekly rates.
And yeah, even weekly more rates. Insane.
I know. But I did serve you banana bread when you were here, and you said it was good.
Oh, it like in real life?
Yeah, not my Sims. Me, my actual me.
It was delicious.
So Bebe Rexha performed at The Sims 4 for this thing called Sims 4 Sessions. This sounds like Spawn. I promise you it's not. We will always tell you when we're getting paid to talk about something.
No, this is just funny. And ridiculous. If they would have paid us, that would have been smart of them. But this is just hilarious.
It was actually a festival. Bebe wasn't the only performer, but she was the star. She was the last of the three. Because there was Glass Animals, that guy with the glasses, and then there was Joy Olatokun, who was the woman who sang first. Everyone was on the piano, so I was wondering if that was like a necessity. The artist had to be a pianist as well, because so was Bebe. Everyone was good. I will give them that. I will say, as a Rexar, as a bad bitch, I will say Bebe's was the best performance. She was the star of the show. No offense to anyone else, but, you know, her Sim performed better than the other Sims.
She was the main event. You know, they were selling Bebe merch at the merch store nearby.
More people were wearing Bebe shirts than Joy or Glass Animals
shirts. Well, you know. I really wonder what the negotiations were like for this spawn. BB's like, I will do the Sims concert, but I will be performing. I will be at the, you know, the main slot of the night, or else I won't be doing it.
BB Rexha herself got paid in Sims and Sims 4 expansion packs. She was like, I'm going to need cottage living. I'm going to need eco lifestyle. I'm going to need get famous. I'm going to need island living. I'm going to need Discover University. I'm going to need cats and dogs. I'm going to need seasons and get together and city living.
I can't deal with this many. That's ridiculous.
If I'm going to agree to this.
There are just, you know, BB is just one in a long line of pop stars who have done their songs in Simlish. And it is never not satisfying. It's even more satisfying when it's a song you know. I can't say I'm familiar with whatever the one was that she sang off her new album.
Sabotage.
But our Sims definitely went home and streamed, you know, the full album.
Oh, for sure. Let's hear her promote it because it is really funny.
So it's me, BB, and I'm headlining Sim Sessions with my song Sabotage. Sing it with me in Simlish right now.
Sul, it's me, BB. I may have to play that 100 times in today's episode.
Sul, it's me, BB.
Thank you, BB.
Wow, BB. She gave us Crunch Crunch. She given us Sul Sul.
Thank you, BB.
Wow, God. It's not even the first time that BB's done Spawn where she changed the lyrics of one of her songs or like wrote a Spawn song, essentially. Incredible. She's incredible.
So, Lindsay, speaking of video clips, great sound bites, we're going to do one that you took last night while you were watching Love Island.
There's no spoilers. Not the first episode. It's actually the third episode we've been watching for 3 days now.
Okay.
But it is not a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler, we promise.
We've got two hot new boys heading into the villa. Meet Chugs.
I'm Chugs, I'm 23, and I run a bucket hat business in Surrey. The person I care most about is me.
Isn't that what you want from a Love Island contestant? Just like comic narcissism?
You want that. You can't see, but he has a 12-pack too. I mean, I'm Chugs, spelt C-H-U-G-G-S, just as you imagine. I'm 23. I'm a bucket hat business owner in Surrey. That took me a while to decipher.
Oh, Surrey. I thought he said Surrey. Soho. Surrey, okay.
Surrey. I'm a bucket hat business owner in Surrey, and the only person I care about is me.
The person I care most about is me.
Sul, I'm Chugs. Do you watch it with captions?
Yo, I wish I could, but the way that I watch it doesn't have captions, and it is very difficult. I've complained about it multiple times to people. I'm rewinding constantly.
I told you I'm watching Happy Valley, which everyone had told me, Mayor of Easttown, no offense to Mayor of Easttown, it's kind of a ripoff of Happy Valley, which for years my brother has been telling me to watch it. I'm finally watching it. And like within 30 seconds, I was like, no offense to English people, but like I have to turn on captions.
This does not sound like English. Captions. And Love Island is not just one dialect. It's
every
at least
dialect.
Five dialects. So it's not, you're constantly switching your ears to hear different UK dialects.
You're going into your create a sim and putting on different ears. Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah, so you're literally like, you're out here. The minute a new one starts talking, you're like, oh God, what's they saying? What's he saying? What's she saying? And it's like, it's great. I mean, it's just a perfect show. And I can't wait till Chug gets in the island and starts mixing it up.
Chug's bucket hat business is called Booby Buckets, as in blue-footed boobies.
Yeah, I think he's partnered with the Galapagos Conservation Trust, but also I think he loves the idea that his bucket hats are called Booby Buckets, you know? I would say it's an equal split of both, but his name is Chugs Wallace, and he came up with the idea of Booby Buckets while graduating from Oxford Brookes University in 2020. That's only a year ago. Bucket hats are in.
Oxford Brookes, is that like USC? Is that like not in the Oxford system, but like it's close enough or something?
I don't know. Did you see the other day, speaking of
the bucket hats are cute.
Bucket hats are in. Did you see the other day Lady Gaga posted something that was about bucket hats that was pretty funny? Will you go read the caption?
Lady Gaga has never been more 35. I love her so
Truly.
Much. I love
you
like,
and Lady Gaga agree on bucket hats. I'm trying to get Bobby to let me make a bucket hat. I am not cool enough to wear
bucket hats.
You
Lindsay?
Don't have to wear all the merch that we make.
What did she say about bucket hats? Where am I looking for this?
On her Instagram. She's wearing a bucket hat.
I did see the photos of her like in the cutest like Let the River Run working girl pink dress in New York City though.
Well, she came to New York. It's a heat wave and she still manages to wear clothes that no one else can fathom because she's going from
the hotel.
Okay,
here she is in her bucket hat. And she oh, this photo. Did somebody say New York? Also, why are these hats such a thing? Eyes emoji.
If Lady Gaga is wondering why bucket hats are such a quote thing, we have to make one. They are on trend.
On the like curve, on the bell curve, they're just past the center. Like we're on the downslope.
God, what if I made a bucket hat that said, why are these hats such a thing? Ugh, that's not as. I mean, it's really not as.
I don't know. That ain't it.
No, I want to make bucket hats that say who and them, and they're either reversible or you turn it around. That's genius. Come on. I just love that you were just like, we won't sell bucket hats because I won't wear them. And then literally an hour later, she posts this and is like, what's the deal with these hats? And I'm like, oh, God, wow. Two 35-year-olds complaining about bucket hats.
Exactly. Never in my life will I be able to relate to Lady Gaga about literally anything but the like existential like dread of being 35 and feeling uncool.
and trying to wear a bucket hat. And she's succeeding and you'll never try. So that's the other difference.
Exactly. You're listening to Who's There with the Call-In Show, where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. Let's get started with comments. We got maybe, I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of calls where people were correcting us about the Peters that we mixed up. Again, not going to look into the last names. We mixed up one Peter with another Peter on The Bachelorette.
Krause and Pilot. Oh, God. One, his last name is Weber, I just realized. Peter Weber is Pilot Pete. His last name is my last name. I should know at least that. I'll tell you one thing. He's definitely not Jewish. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, what?
The best call came in this morning, Thursday morning, and it says everything that the other calls that were just saying, hey, you're getting a lot of calls about this, but you mixed up this Peter with that Peter. All of them said the same thing. They were very like winking and knowing, like, of course you got it wrong. This call said what all the other callers refused to say. They said the quiet part out loud.
I say this with like a lot of love and like no hate, but I think maybe it could be best if you guys just, like, steer away from the Bachelor franchise. It doesn't seem to ever go great. You know, it's just a chaotic mess. Contract.
Wait.
So basically, this caller was saying, we should stay away from that franchise because it never goes great. But the caller does say the show in and of itself is a chaotic mess, so it's not worth just doing a superficial.
Instead of saying you mix up the Peters, it's saying maybe just never talk about The Bachelor again with the at the rate that you two.
Exactly.
Your success rate is low on the show.
But I think that's so fair. And this is something that we talk about privately. We say, what, we don't want to go here. It's like The Housewives, it's like you have to have this encyclopedic knowledge of both of these franchises to really be able to talk about anything.
I think our ignorance on The Bachelor is a meta commentary. I think we're doing it on purpose in a way. In a way, we're not, but in a way.
There's a percentage of it.
It's a joke. It's a performance piece.
But this was an earnest mix-up.
Yeah, I guess it was earnest.
But to be fair, what we were talking about was Rachel, which had transcended Bachelor and was about the mainstream.
That's my problem with The Bachelor, is it always goes back to the men. We weren't even talking about these fools, right?
We were talking about Rachel.
Right.
And we were talking about how Rachel was done with the franchise also. And yet, yeah, because she will always be tied to this like toxic, chaotic franchise, you can't even talk about her escaping Chris Harrison's clutches without getting something wrong about two people named Peter.
And guess what? I'm done with this segment.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. I figure that you probably never want to hear about Grace and Chance ever again, but I thought I should let you guys know that he was the headliner for Oklahoma City Pride this past weekend. Apparently, he's from Edmond, which is like 20 minutes north of Oklahoma City. And so he decided to do a hometown show, and literally no one knew who he was. I stayed for like 10 minutes. It wasn't great, but he seems very sweet. So I just thought you guys should know. Okay, him to you again.
Shout out to our Oklahoman hooligans, because we had multiple people who were attending Oklahoma Pride being like, Grace and Chance is headlining and he's great. This is really cute.
I love that.
Love that. Happy for Grace and
happy for you.
Next call.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I was just listening to the Friday episode and you guys were talking about Olympians to watch, and I was just calling to tell you guys about a nepotism Olympian to watch. So climbing is going to be in the Olympics for the first time, like you said, and competing for the U.S. is this 20-year-old girl, Brooke Rabatou. And she's incredibly talented, like crazy strong, but she is also a nepotism alert, because her parents, are DDA Rabatou, who was a very famous, climber in his day. And then her mother is Robin Erfield Rabatou, who is also like World Cup champion, like major female climber as well. So I know how you guys love a nepotism, but this is like kind of one of those rare cases where, like, yes, nepotism, but also incredible talent, because you can't really like nepotism your way into the Olympics. So just thought you might enjoy keeping an eye out for her in Tokyo. Porkin Sorkin.
Controversial take. The caller kind of said this too, but nepotism when it comes to actual like sporting events, especially the Olympics, I would say like I understand, like I would only fault like 20% of nepotism, because I feel like, yes, if you grow up watching and doing a sport, it really mm-hmm. matters. It's like if you can yeah. only become a professional
with the
skier,
support system
really,
of two
if it's
rock
paid
climbers.
For by your parents and you are sent to ski school and all these things, yeah, like that yeah. really helps. But I will say you can't really, like the caller says, you can't really fully nepotism yourself into the Olympics. You got to be at least somewhat determined and talented to get to that point. So while I love a nepotism, I got to say, like, I feel a little bit less judgy of a nepotism climber. And I'm ready. I'm so excited for climbing in the Olympics. That is so exciting.
Yeah, the difference is that, like, in Hollywood, nepotism can supersede talent. Like, you don't really have to be talented to be famous in Hollywood. But when it comes to any sort of athletic activity, you really have to be talented. Like,
yes.
You're not just suddenly going to win the gold medal for rock climbing just because mommy and daddy are rock climbers.
It helps to have it, but
right.
you can't, if it's like a objective number that you have to hit in speed, you still can't, you have to hit that no matter mm-hmm. what.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby, long time. I was literally so happy to see that you were talking about Sha'Carri Richardson in today's pod, because I am actually at the Olympic trials in Oregon right now. I do some part-time freelance writing about track and field. And I love Sha'Carri so much. She's like revitalized the sport. Two things I just wanted to tell you guys, because I think you'd find it interesting. Her biggest rival for gold in Tokyo is going to be Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, and Sha'Carri is super young. She's 21, and Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce is 34 and first won Olympic gold in 2008 when Sha'Carri was like 8 years old. So there's like a very fun, you know, old gen, new gen rivalry shaping up. The other thing I wanted to tell you is a very hooey moment, I guess, where she was celebrating her win in the 100 in the stadium, and one of the best college coaches in track and field, who's very famous and very well known, very intimidating, yelled at her from the stands, "Great race, Sha'Carri," to which she wheeled around and goes right back to him, "It's Sha'Carri." So she's just a lot of fun to watch. She's also really not afraid of anybody, and it's going to be like the best part of NBC's Tokyo Olympics coverage. So that's all. Crunch, crunch. Love you guys.
It's Sha'Carri.
It's Sha'Carri. This caller was at the Olympics trials. What?
Are you kidding me? I love it. A hooligan at the Olympics trials.
I'm just calling to say that this podcast is JB Jones erasure, and I don't appreciate that. Crunch, crunch.
Hi, Who Weekly. I think one of the celebrities that you're missing from your list with June B. Squibb and such is Millie D. Brown.
Hi. I think it's really rude that caller forgot Susan B. Anthony and Lyndon B. Johnson. Thank you.
Rutherford B. Hayes.
You guys, Sophie B. Hawkins.
Now that we have all these new B's, you got to order them. We got Rutherford B. Hayes, Susan B. Anthony, Jenny B. Jones, Millie B. Brown. Does she count?
No, that doesn't count. Nope, okay.
Sophie B. Hawkins. Susan,
Sophie B. Hawkins is huge.
Lyndon B. Johnson. And apparently Junie B. Jones is way more famous than whatever his face is that Uma Thurman is dating. I already forgot his name.
I'm assuming the Jenny B. Jones that this person is talking about is the, like, best-selling romance author, Jenny B. Jones.
Is that what they're talking about? I thought they were talking about Jenny Jones, the talk show host, and she had a B, but I didn't know.
If that were the case, that would be unfair, and I wouldn't count it, because she goes by Jenny B. Jones. If anything, she goes by Jenny. She's just Jenny. But I will accept Rutherford B. Hayes, Susan B. Anthony, Sophie B. Hawkins, and Lyndon B. Johnson.
Okay, so do you want to re-rank them from who to them? Are we also talking Michael B. Jordan?
No. Is it my job to? Yes.
We're also counting Michael B. Jordan and Justin B. Smith or whatever. Uma's boyfriend.
And Courtney B. Vance. Okay, I'm cutting this Millie Bobby Brown out because that's in the way. I think Jenny B. Jones is at the bottom because I think that's really niche.
Then I think, I think the caller is maybe right, and that's a blind spot for me. So it's Jenny B. Jones, then Justin B. Smith, or whatever his name is.
Then Justin B. Smith, yes.
Then Junie B. Jones.
Then Junie B. Jones, because those books were very popular and still
then
are.
Then Rutherford B. Hayes, then Lyndon B. Johnson. Wait, no.
No.
Then Rutherford B. Hayes.
Then Rutherford B. Hayes.
Then Sophie B. Hawkins.
Yeah, Rutherford B. Hayes, Sophie B. Hawkins.
Lyndon B.
Then
Johnson.
Then Courtney B. Vance.
Oh, true.
Then I think Susan B. Anthony. Then Lyndon B. Johnson.
You think Lyndon's above Susan?
No offense to Susan, but she wasn't president.
That is an offense to Susan, because she could have been.
That's a good one, and that's true, but she still wasn't president.
And people do say LBJ. No one says SBA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then I think Michael B. Jordan's at the top of the list, though.
You think he's more famous than Lyndon B. Johnson, the president?
Currently, right now, yeah.
Okay.
What do you think?
I agree with you completely.
Thank you.
AK, I'm not doing this ranking again. You did it. It's great.
Actually, since you agree with me, I'm going to change my mind. Sophie B. Hawkins, number one. Lindsay, when you came over to my apartment last week for dinner and dancing, courtesy of Lala, did it smell like beef or did it smell like cat litter?
It smelled like beef. That's what you were cooking.
That's what I was cooking. It smelled like beef, you know?
It smelled like beef.
It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I used pretty litter, and nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to 1 month. Gives me peace of mind. I know I'm gonna have people over and then they're like, it smells like cat in here. My apartment doesn't smell like cat. That's all you want.
No, it doesn't.
You can pick up the cat and love the cat and hug the cat, but doesn't smell like cat.
No.
Their crystals also change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in your cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. This is, in my experience, this is not in the copy, especially helpful if you have a senior cat that's getting older and could have, like, weird medical issues. The litter crystals will change color and tell you that there might be something wrong so that when you go to the vet, you can say, hey, the litter changed color. Could be this. Check on this. So helpful. And if that is not enough for you, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door. You never run out. You won't have huge kitty litter bags taking up space, especially if you live in a small apartment. And even better, you don't have to lug the huge tubs from the store to your car, up the stairs, blah, blah, blah. Comes right to you. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Lindsay, what Quince did you get when we got some Quince promo?
I got sheets.
Me too.
I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, You know how you say on the Quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow, that's so nice to hear, because Quince offers free shipping and 365 day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry.
Oh yeah, you're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to, washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not normally. From Quince.
Normally.
And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/who.
Hi, I came across this article and I'm just going to read it in full. Lala filed for divorce from Carmelo Anthony shortly before the news broke. Melo allegedly fathered twins by Lee Daniels' niece and has, quote, stashed them away in London, England. One of the twins is named Cash after Lala's fictional son in the TV series Power. Lala hasn't said anything publicly, but she did wish herself a happy 39th birthday by dropping some bikini photos. It's a clear sign that she's moving on and the DMs are open. As far as Carmelo, it looks like he might be signing with the Lakers in the offseason to try to pursue a ring with banana boat buddy LeBron. Flip the page to check out the bikini photos. You won't be disappointed. Crunch, crunch.
This okay. is so wild. And this involves Instagram sleuthing, the likes of which I have not seen in a very long time. That is so satisfying. This is very rumor heavy, very speculative. I want to approach this with like...
You want to say allegedly.
I want to say allegedly over and over and over again.
Allegedly is... light in the Wendy studio just went off 12 times for you. Norman is screaming or he's mouthing very loudly. Allegedly, 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 allegedly.
And let's look back at what Lala said about their divorce. We even made a point to note that their breakup seemed extremely friendly. That she was supportive, that the breakup happened around Father's Day. They announced their divorce before Father's Day, but on Father's Day, like, Lala posted a photo of her, Melo, and their kid, and it was like, happy Father's Day to the father of my children, blah, blah. Things seemed to be going well in their relationship, though it had dissolved. But swirling around this at the time, and we didn't talk about it last week or whenever this happened,
it was were rumors. It was around last week, and now I think it's a little bit more... There's more credence to it.
Right. Because of who this person is, and also because of the way that people found out and the people who found out themselves. Because we even joked about like how Shade Room sort of started the niche celebrity journalism on Instagram, where it's like every fandom, every group, every location, every region has their own equivalent of the Shade Room, and the Shade Room sort of started it all. There is one called Philly Scoop Hall, and you guessed it, it covers rumors, gossip, news in the celebrity world in Philadelphia. And it looks like Philly Scoop Hall is the one who scooped this, but they could have just been aggregating from someone else. Carmelo may be seeing the niece of Lee Daniels. Lee Daniels has a few nieces. He's talked about them in the past. He doesn't have kids, so like he's very close to his nieces. A few weeks ago, he Instagrammed, "My youngest niece wants to get into acting."
Lee Daniels, aka the writer, director.
Writer, director, producer, Oscar nominee, the butler,
he's
yes.
He's a real force.
Hollywood Renaissance man, total yeah. them, who happens to have a hooey niece whom he would like to turn into a them. So literally 5 weeks ago, he posts this carousel of images of his niece with the caption, "My youngest niece wants to get into acting. Though the pics are fab, in my opinion, she needs more conservative ones." And then sort of like tongue out emoji, like embarrassed tongue out emoji. "I think she's got something though. Thoughts?" And it's
Did
just
he post
a photo
of her.
He just posted like thirst trap photos of his niece. In a way, it's strange. He's like, "Isn't my niece hot?" So this is happening separately. This is just sort of context. Then, very recently, we get a story on Hollywood Unlocked.
And they're saying that she's also pregnant.
Well, sort of. They're saying someone is pregnant. They don't name that it's Maya, Lee Daniels' niece. But go on.
So they're saying, Woman alleges Carmelo Anthony is the father of her newborn twins, says NBA star has been avoiding their premature babies, and shares more shocking details. Socialites get into this, I guess is what they call the Hollywood Unlocked fans. A woman who rather not share her name has revealed to us that Carmelo Anthony is allegedly the father of her newborn twins, and she even has receipts. We were able to chat with the woman who alleged how they met and how he allegedly, notice how many allegedlys, hid his new family from the public, and how one celebrity, allegedly in brackets, got involved to get answers from Melo's wife, Lala Anthony.
So this woman apparently has all the receipts she needs to prove that this is true. Hollywood Unlocked is definitely running with this story. They have, like, they apparently talked with her on the phone. They have texts from allegedly Carmelo, even though, you know, we've been burned in the past. We've seen faked texts and DMs before. Anyway, the story that the caller was reading is, I think, combining two stories without evidence, because there is the rumor that Carmelo was having some kind of relationship with Maya J, which I'll get into in a second. And there is another story that Carmelo got a woman pregnant who fled to London. And I don't know that those are the same story. And I think that because they're happening concurrently, some outlets that are aggregating the news are confusing them and combining them into one.
Twisted.
But let's go back to Maya J, the separate rumor. This is killing me. The things that eagle-eyed Instagram users find. Okay, so this is centered around two photos. One that shows Carmelo in a house that has railing, black metal railing behind him. And another photo of Maya J in like a beautiful, well-lit white house, black railing behind her that matches the railing behind Carmelo perfectly. So it could either mean that they were in his house together.
Could be her house.
Right, it could be her house. They were in a house that was the same together at some point. She also celebrated his birthday on Twitter. On his birthday, sort of like quietly, coyly, in a way that made people think that they were seeing each other. Again, none of this is confirmed, and this is, as far as I could tell, a separate story from the paternity story.
This mixed with Lala asking for a divorce does seem like it's not the craziest thing in the world, just because the timing is right with Lala getting a divorce, right? Like, we still don't really know why she did that. So if this is the reason, then this is the reason.
I just can't believe that this is Lee Daniels' niece. Like, it's sort of poetic. Like, one of the kings of, I don't know, TV Hollywood melodrama right now is, like, maybe responsible for, or at least their niece is responsible for some, like, true melodrama happening right now in celebrity culture.
This tweet says, watch Lee Daniels' niece Maya speak on Carmelo Anthony FaceTiming her in Lala's bed, being the daddy of her premature twins, trying to turn babies into British citizens to hide them from Lala, and being the reason Lala filed for divorce. That is so many things.
I'm telling you, it's melodrama.
She's trying to turn them into British citizens to hide them from Lala. Babe, I think it's too late if that's the case. You know?
Yeah. And also, like, I do think that even though you read that tweet, I don't think that these two things are the same story. I think that this is like journalism gone wrong. Like, people are combining two things that don't actually go together. Anyway, next call.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I just have a general question about celebrity culture. Why do celebrities put emojis over their babies' faces, their kids' faces? What's the actual point? Aren't they getting popped, like, on the regular? Or, like, is there a point to it? Anyway, maybe not. I don't know. Crunch, crunch.
Okay. Lawyers, this is actually me saying lawyers call in, because I really did. I spent hours looking this up. But the thing that I learned that's really interesting, Lindsay, not to make this a You're Wrong About episode, I was kind of wrong about some stuff. I always thought that the reason UK, like, stars do it so that they can, like, maintain control over the photos of their kids, right? Like,
yeah,
if I'm not, you're not going to get them, and I'm not going to give them to you. So I'm going to put, it's sort of this winky, coy way of being I control my kids' photos. They don't have the authority to give consent to photos of themselves. So, like, I'm doing this myself, right?
Right.
I'm not ready to show my kid in public.
Right.
But the reason publications do it, I thought, was about some laws are stricter about it, some are less strict about it. So in the UK, you have to blur the photos, and in America, you don't. But it's not that simple at all. In the UK, there's a lot of gray area.
Well, that's why you notice in the UK Daily Mail, faces will be blurred. But then in the US Daily Mail, faces will be blurred. And that's, like, an interesting dynamic, because they'll post the photos just as if you can see the kid's face, but it'll be, they'll be like, oh, whoever out with their children, da 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 da, or whatever. And the face will be blurred as if it's just not blurred. Like there's no reference to the fact that you can't actually see the kid, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the thing that I found that's interesting is that, like, in the UK, the only laws that are on the books about, you know, paparazzi photos of kids are, like, if they're on private property or if they're, like, quote-unquote indecent.
Mm-hmm.
As of, like, I'm going to catch Irina Shayk and Bradley Cooper on the street with their baby and I want to publish this photo, the reason they're blurring it isn't because it's necessarily illegal. It's that the laws are so vague that it could be. And if the celebrity really wanted to sue, the celebrity would probably win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that they're fully illegal. It's not that it's explicit. And in the US, it's sort of a crapshoot because it's sort of a publication by publication decision. Like, it's a publication deciding, like, what are our ethical boundaries? And a lot of this started in 2013. There was this movement spearheaded by Halle Berry and Jennifer Garner that essentially makes it illegal to take photographs of famous children, specifically famous children, even in public, without their parents' consent. And so that's sort of, the language is really interesting. I went and read the law, and it's all filed under harassment, which is sort of fascinating. So the way it's written, it says this. So it says, any person who intentionally harasses the child or ward of any other person because of that person's employment shall be punished by imprisonment in a county jail not exceeding 1 year or by a fine not exceeding $10,000. So it's specifically, if you note the wording, it's like because of that person's employment. It's talking about famous people, right? It's like you're photographing Northwest because of who her parents are, right? Like that's what the law means. But it says harassment, but then you scroll down and it says harasses means knowing and willful conduct directed at a specific child or ward that seriously alarms, annoys, torments, or terrorizes the child or ward, blah, 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 without the express consent of the parent or legal guardian of the child or ward. Mm. A photograph is harassment unless the parent says it's okay to photograph them. So you will notice if a photograph is taken in California, that kid is probably going to be blurred now. Probably.
Right.
This is just to show that the rules are very different, like from state by state, yeah, country to country. But back to the question, the emoji thing. Why do celebrities cover their kids' faces with emojis?
I do think that when parents do the emoji thing on Instagram, that is like almost a bat signal to paparazzi and to tabloids that, like, yes, I don't want this and I would sue you if you did. Mm-hmm. Put photos, like, that doesn't always work because sometimes I see, you know, celebrities who do that I like accidentally see their kid's face, like, in a tabloid. I'm like, mm-hmm, oh, I thought whatever. But, like, mm-hmm, I think this caller might have been calling because this week Channing Tatum posted a photo of his kid,
of
like
his daughter,
an actual,
yeah,
photo of his daughter, who's pretty, you know, who's not fully grown up, but pretty grown up now. And
we'd never seen her before.
And I was like, oh, that's so funny. Like, we'd never seen her before. Right. I'd remembered that. And it's, yeah, like that was such, quote unquote, a big deal because of that. But it seems like the fact that we'd never seen her proved that tabloids did follow his lead by not showing her. Do you know what, mm-hmm, I mean? And there's plenty of other celebrities who do that.
Yeah. Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard have been really good about
Mindy
it.
Mindy Kaling does that. It's also interesting because this California law, it says the bill also states that distribution of a child's image does not violate the law, but rather is the act of creating it. So, mm-hmm, like if Just Jared Jr. reposted something, an, yeah, Instagram or something, they'd be okay.
Yeah.
It's the person taking the picture who would be the one who gets in trouble. Mm-hmm. So it protects kind of the dissemination, the spread of the photo in a way, which is not ideal, to be honest.
No. Exactly. Yeah. And then there was this story, which I didn't know.
Did not know this.
So a few years ago, remember with that rumor that Rihanna and Leonardo DiCaprio were dating? Well, that all stemmed from, I think, one specific night. I don't think they hung out more than a handful of times, but one specific night they were at a club in Paris and they allegedly made out. And the Pops got a photo of them, allegedly, making out, right? And they were trying to sell, so the story goes, they were trying to sell the photos everywhere, and everywhere was like, no, we're not buying this. And apparently the reason is because it was taken in France, and France has like the strictest, like most explicit laws.
So they were able just to object to it.
Right. Where if you don't want the photo published, you can say, I think it has to be written. There's obviously like some details here, but you can be like, I object to you publishing this photo, and they have to not publish it. It's some sort of, there's some like beautiful French phrase where it's like everyone owns their identity.
So basically if a celebrity wants to fuck around, they should go to France.
That's what it sounds like to me. I mean, lawyers call in and tell us if we're right or not. And I think that also has a lot to do with Diana because that's where Diana died.
Oh,
a lot of it
wow.
stems from Diana.
Yeah.
A lot of it stems from Diana. Not all of it.
I mean, also,
a lot of it.
If a country wants to be like, we're a safe haven for celebrities and movie shoots and whatever, whatever, they could just say, oh, we do the same thing as France. We have the same rules as France or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that seems very, that's interesting. That's interesting mm-hmm. to me.
Yeah.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. I just heard that Renee Zellweger is allegedly dating Aunt Anstead, AKA the ex-husband of Christina on the Coast. He's like a British car man or something. Anyway. I was just wondering if you could discuss and if you had any theories about how they would have met each other. Okay, thanks, Crunch Crunch. Bye.
Tell us how they met, please.
Wait, before we even get there, I just want, in case you forgot who Aunt Anstead is, I just feel like Aunt Anstead is one of those people that even I'm not quite sure what he is. I used to think he was part of Aunt Deck. That was like a whole...
Me too. I was like, the problem with Aunt is that there are exactly the amount of ants that you need to confuse them all the time.
Two.
Because Aunt is so unique that you're like, there couldn't possibly be more than one. And there are two. So you are constantly confusing
but
both ants.
Aunt Anstead is American and Aunt Deck is British. So it's like we each have our own aunt, you know?
What is Aunt British's last name? Aunt British's last name is...
No idea.
McPartlin.
Aunt
Got
McPartlin.
It. Okay.
Aunt Anstead was married to Christina Hawk, a.k.a. Christina on the Coast, a.k.a. the ex-wife of Tariq El Moussa, who she shared the show Flip or Flop with. So that's how we mm-hmm. have this origin story. Okay, Tariq El Moussa is now with What's-Her-Face from Selling Sunset. That's a whole other thing, right?
What's her name? Heather Rae Young.
But Christina and Aunt Anstead had been together for a while because they had a kid together, and mm-hmm. they literally just got a divorce that was finalized 3 days ago. Then this news drops that Aunt has moved on already. Christina's back to the coast. Remember, she changed her last name.
She's on the coast.
She was Christina Anstead. Now she's back to the coast.
She reclaimed her last name. She moved to the coast, and she has a successful HGTV series without
on the
Tariq.
Either man. Yes. She's now just single on the coast. We love
yes.
that for her. Aunt Anstead got a new show on Discovery Plus, Bobby's favorite streaming service. It mm-hmm. is part of the Property Twins. It is part of their production company.
Mm-hmm. Property Brothers. They're
property
called the
Brothers.
Property Brothers.
I call
okay.
them
but
property
yeah, close
twins.
Enough. That's close enough. Okay. The show hasn't premiered yet. It's called Celebrity IOU Joyride.
Yeah. So basically it's about cars. I guess they give celebrities friends cars of their dreams, because there's also weirdly a show where Aunt Anstead gives Drew or Jonathan, I think Drew, well, I forget which one, the car of his dreams. So apparently this is a thing, you know, where he's like, mm-hmm. what's your favorite car? Let's get it for you. I don't know how that's a whole show. You'll have to watch and find out. But this one is Celebrity IOU, meaning like a celebrity comes on and is like, my dear friend Jessica has always been there for me. I want to get her a car.
I'm
going to
give her a car. I'm going to give her a new kitchen. I'm going to give her something that requires an HGTV niche. You know,
yes.
like it's
yes.
a sweet idea.
Yes. It says Hollywood stars will, quote, roll up their sleeves to create automotive masterpieces for special people in their lives, read the press release. According to the announcement, the stars featured in the first season are Mary J. Blige, Tony Hawk, Octavia Spencer, James Marsden, Danny Trejo, and you guessed it, Renee Zellweger, a.k.a. how these two met on
yes.
this show, which was clearly already filmed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how much People magazine covers this guy, Aunt Anstead. He is in this magazine every fucking week.
Christina made him sort of popular.
I mean,
and if you have an HGTV show, like, you're pretty fucking popular.
That's true. And but it's just so funny because they covered his house hunting, and then they got the exclusive when he bought the house on the photos. And the photos aren't photos that they sent a photographer. They're photos that he sent people, and they slapped the exclusive on there.
But back to Renee and Tariq, they just click.
I was going to read that. Sometimes two people just meet and click, and the timing is right, a source says in this week's issue. Renee is creative and often goes for guys who think outside the box. She's smart, thoughtful, and always looking to expand horizons and nurture those around her. Love this, because it is true that Renee does love to date a rock star. She loves a creative guy.
Mm-hmm.
She dated Kenny Chesney, Jim Carrey,
I'm going to go through Renee Zellweger's story, dating history. Again, okay. A lot of these are rumors, but they're on Who's Dated Too. And we're just going to do a rapid fire. You're going to say they thought out of the box, they didn't think out of the box. Okay. Thought out of the box, didn't think out of the box.
Okay.
The first few are literally not famous people, so I'm going to start when people actually get famous.
Okay.
Okay. Jim Carrey.
Definitely thought outside the box.
Okay, great. Matthew Perry.
I kind of think he didn't think outside the box.
Okay. George Clooney.
He thinks out of the box.
Yeah, I thought so too. Jack White.
Oh, totally out of the box.
Out of the box. Damien Rice.
Wow. Oh, okay. Interesting. I kind of feel like he thinks inside the box.
He's definitely in the box. Okay. Kenny Chesney.
Okay. Interesting. I think he's inside the box.
Yeah, I think he's inside the box. I'd love him to come out of the box, but I don't think he's going to. Luke Perry.
Luke Perry?
Yeah. Encounter. See, these are rumors, but still.
Okay. Let's say he's outside the box.
He's outside the box. John Krasinski, in the box.
Wow, I'm cutting you off. He's literally in the box. He built the box, actually, and he's inside of it.
He built the box. Not only does John Krasinski build boxes, he puts people in boxes. Okay, Paul McCartney.
These are rumors. These are fucking rumors. These are rumors. He's outside the box.
He's outside the box. Andre Balazs.
Oh, like Uma Thurman's ex?
Yes.
In the box.
Dan Abrams.
What?
In the box.
Okay, he's in the box, I guess. Yeah.
Bradley Cooper.
Media Dan Abrams? Inside the box.
Media Dan Abrams.
Bradley Cooper is so outside the box. He's a mile away from the box. He never saw the box. He never even saw the box.
John Stamos. Rumored encounter, but still.
Fully in the box. Peeking out from inside the box.
Exactly. Doyle Bramhall II.
I don't know him, but I think he sounds like he's outside the box.
He is a musician and he is in the band. He works with Eric Clapton.
Oh, wow.
He's a guitarist for Eric Clapton.
He's in the box. He's outside the box.
Okay, and then we have the last one, Aunt Anstead.
I think this guy.
Although people called him outside the box, I think he's inside
the box.
You don't date Christina Hoch if you're outside the box. Like, her Hinge profile is like, I'm looking for a man who's in the box.
I mean, also think about it. The Property Brothers definitely built this guy a box and he's inside of it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a big box. It's a big box. It probably fits a huge couch, but it's a box.
What's your favorite Renee Zellweger performance? Or what's your favorite Renee Zellweger movie? I think performance is a little too. We don't have to get that.
My favorite Renee Zellweger performance is Empire Records. My favorite Renee Zellweger movie.
Interesting. That's
no, probably it's probably between Empire Records and Cold Mountain. My favorite Renee Zellweger movie is probably Bridget Jones' Diary. Am I missing something?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Am I missing a performance?
That's funny. I think definitely. Well, I thought you were a Chicago girl. I'm not a Chicago girl. So
I'm not a Chicago girl.
But I guess that's more of a.
I think she's perfect in it. But
Catherine Zeta-Jones movie than a Renee Zellweger
movie. I love her in Cold Mountain. I know Cold Mountain is like critically now maligned or whatever. People are like, I don't like it. I'm like, I love Cold Mountain. Loved it.
Oh, I was going to say my favorite Renee Zellweger performance is absolutely Cold Mountain. Yeah. Like, it's so ridiculous.
And she's so good.
Ruby Thews.
She's
so,
so
stupid.
Good.
It's so dumb.
And she's great in, I mean, she's great in Empire Records. That's like, that was my favorite movie for a long time when I was a kid. Yeah.
You know Renee Zellweger movie I don't like that everyone always tries to get me to love?
New in Town. No, not
starring
New in Town.
Daddy Warbucks himself? Starring Daddy not Warbucks
new
himself?
In town. Not New in Town with Harry Connick Jr.?
No, Down with Love. I don't like Down with Love.
No, I don't like it either with you.
What's
McGregor?
The deal with people loving Down with Love?
I don't get it.
You know what else I don't like? Jerry Maguire.
Oh, Jerry Maguire weirdly like grew on me to be just like an absurdist.
I should watch it again as an adult.
Yeah, I think you might like it more now.
You know what worries me is I think straight up my favorite Renee Zellweger movie is just Cold Mountain.
That's a little
Is
crazy.
That a problem?
No. What about Bridget Jones, though? Are you not a Bridget Jones fan?
I love Bridget. Oh, I love Bridget
because
Jones.
Because she's perfect in that.
She is perfect. I haven't
one
seen
and yet. Two.
I have not seen the sequels. I have not seen any of the sequels. I've only seen the first one. I thought they were terrible.
The sequels are pretty bad, but the original is great.
Cold Mountain is just it's a bit of a mess, but like it's a satisfying movie.
I have no issues with it. People call
it's
it messy.
It's a capital M movie.
But when he shows up at the end, I cry every time. I find it very emotional. I find Jack White very good.
Oh no,
in it.
Spoiler, he shows up at the end.
Sorry. I'm sorry. That's not actually the true spoiler of what happens, but it's just right. I think everyone in that movie is good and I think it's a good movie.
That's good.
It is maligned, though. It's one of those Forrest Gumps where people are like, that was bad. Don't we all know that was bad? And I'm like, we don't. Bye.
Takes a deep breath. It is maligned, though. It is maligned, though. Okay. Do we want to do Ringo Starr's penis rings? Or Chad Michael Murray going by a guy named Steve in a commercial.
Do Chad Michael Murray going by a guy named Steve in a commercial.
Okay, that's more hooey, I think. Okay. Yes.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Long time, long time. I just wanted to let you know that Chad Michael Murray is in a Hotels.com commercial, but he's not playing himself. He's playing a character named Steven. Crunch, crunch.
The moment I heard this call, I was like, well, I have to watch this commercial instantly. I found it very quickly. It's a months old Hotels.com commercial. Here it is. I don't even think you need the visual. We'll explain it afterwards, but the audio works. The first voice you hear will be Chad Michael Murray's. The second voice is another man whom Chad Michael Murray is yelling at in a taxi.
Chad! Hey, wait! I can't just stay here and wait for you to figure out what you want.
I just need a little more time!
How are you still so unsure of this, Steven?
What am I supposed to do? Leave my family?
Yes! People do it every day!
Stop overthinking it, Steven! Book the bachelor party in Vegas!
Thanks, Captain Obvious.
Wow, your pectoral muscles are outstanding!
What?
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 Booking a trip can feel dramatic, but with free cancellation, you can't go wrong with Hotels.com.
Yes, you heard that correctly. Chad Michael Murray is playing someone named Steven in a homophobic Hotels.com commercial from May 2021.
I am so, like, there's so many layers to why this is a problem. You're expecting me to just go with the fact that you're calling Chad Michael Murray Steven. I know he's not that famous, but that's like a little demeaning. We've totally turned him into like that random guy in the T-Mobile commercial, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They've really Apple-guide him. They've really like PC guy.
It's very Curb Your Enthusiasm where like there are so many celebrities playing themselves, but sometimes a celebrity plays a character and you're like, wait, is that rude? Is that like a drag that right. like a celebrity right. is in here playing a character and not themselves?
Not to mention this commercial has gay panic.
Absolutely gay panic. So in case you couldn't really tell what was going on, the commercial is made to seem like this guy wants Chad Michael Murray, aka Steve, to leave his wife to be with him romantically. But then you find out, no, he just wants him to leave his wife for a week so we can go to a bachelor party. And then the Hotels.com concierge spokesperson compliments Chad Michael Murray's pecs. And then whenever the men panic that they're being hit on by like a hunky concierge, then the commercial ends. And you're like, oh, gay panic. Still funny. Still got it. All these years later.
Yeah, it's like very much like, don't try and put Chad Michael Murray in this commercial and call him Steve to distract me from the fact that your commercial has gay panic in it. You know, like, don't think that's going to work because it did briefly. But then I snapped out of it and I was like, mm-hmm. What the fuck is this ad? Anyways, Chad Michael Murray.
Do you think that who's him?
Rude. I mean, he's already a who, so it's like irrelevant, but that's like the huge hooing. This guy's starring in at least 12 Hallmark movies a year, you know?
Hello?
Thank goodness.
You all right?
Yeah, I think I must have hit a patch of black ice.
Which way are you headed?
I'm actually heading to a small town called Forest Ridge.
I know it well.
Let's play a game of Who Are Them.
Okay, two-way I don't know her. Does Bebe Rexha know who Bebe Neuwirth is? And vice versa. Crunch, crunch.
Great question. Great question.
No and no. Next call. Can I just say no and no?
Yeah, great. Move on.
Is Boss Baby a who or a them? Crunch, crunch.
Lindsay, this is your area of expertise.
I mean,
is Boss Baby
help,
a who
though.
Or a them?
Is Boss Baby a who or a them?
Let's see. One, two, three.
Them.
I think Boss Baby's a them, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's everywhere.
Do I like that he's a them? Do I like that his voice has another successful character in his belt? No.
It's weird that our enemy who hates us is also a character, a beloved character by me, and also in my canon of interest.
Part of the Who Weekly canon.
Yeah. It's kind of upsetting. I'd love to like, you know, ban Boss Baby because Alec Baldwin is the voice and he hates us. But I really can't help but love that dumb baby who wears the like high socks and stirrups like a boss. It's very, very weird.
Who cares if Alec Baldwin hates us? Because you know who loves us?
Who? Norman.
Norman!
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Norman from Wendy listens. Shout out.
I
don't mean to brag, but
episode,
I kind of want to brag.
I'm bragging.
I'm happy to brag about that.
I'm bragging.
I will not be modest about that.
Because
okay.
Who does Wendy call when she needs to get caught up on something? Norman.
Norman. Norman is everything. Isn't Amy Sedaris one of the other Boss Babies in this
She's
sequel
the new,
that we're going to
yeah.
watch together?
She's the new. Yeah, I'm coming over to watch it.
Wait, Lindsay, can yeah, I watch the first one with you again? Because I haven't seen it in a long time.
We have to watch the first one too? Okay, great.
Full disclosure, I don't know that I've ever seen Boss Baby, A, all the way through in one sitting, B, uh-huh. in a state where I was like in a position to remember it well.
Well, that, but I was going to say, I don't want you to see any of those movies sober. So we're going to have to figure out a cocktail for you.
Okay, so we're going to watch Boss Baby at your house. And then we're going to watch Boss Baby the Squeakquel, probably at
in
your
theaters.
House. We're not going to watch it on Peacock.
Okay, we could, but we also
it's
could
doing
see it
same
in
day
theaters.
Peacock. It's same day Peacock.
Or in theaters.
If it's no, in the draft house, I'll
I
go.
Feel like it's a big risk to watch Boss Baby 2 in theaters when I could be like so stoned, so happy watching it in my house, and I know it will be a good experience.
Because the problem with like I don't want to see a movie for kids in theaters.
I don't want to go ruin a kid's experience.
Exactly.
I don't want to be an idiot in a theater where a kid is enjoying. I want to be an idiot in my own home.
I really don't need to get glared at in a theater by someone my age who is also at Boss Baby 2, the Squeakquel, with their 6-year-old.
With
you
their know? Child. I would say like 10 years ago, this would be acceptable, you know, to show up and do this. But now when you could encounter a parent who is your peer, like run into someone, you know, with their child, it's probably
who
not the best
idea. The age of a child who wants to see Boss Baby 2, the Squeakquel.
It's not called the Squeakquel. That's skipbuck. It's called Boss Baby 2 Back in Business.
Oh, nice to see you, Bobby and Lindsay.
Hey. Hi.
This is my child who's here to see this movie earnestly.
Did you like the first Boss Baby? You excited to see a second Boss Baby?
It's like, come on, Dylan, leave my ex-friends alone.
Oh, God.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. With UK Love Island starting tonight, I was wondering if the US version of Love Island is a who or a them. Okay, thank you. Crunch, crunch.
US Love Island. Well, first of all, UK Love Island. Them, right? It's so popular. It's so influential. It's so widely covered.
UK Love Island, them, Love Island US, huge who. Not even, has not proven itself to be as good as the other, even though it's the exact same thing. We don't have the magic there. I'm sorry.
We don't have the magic. We don't have chugs.
The person I care most about is me.
Hi, The Weekly. I just saw something that I refuse to look into further, so I'm hoping that you guys can just explain it to me. Who is Ollie London? Related question, the members of BTS, are they who's? I think that BTS in the United States is a them by now, but the individual members, they have to still be who's, right? Okay, good form, Bella Thorne. Thank you, bye.
I think a general rule, I don't want to talk about Ollie London. Dark energy, they're that British influencer who has gotten a lot of surgery to look like, is it Jin?
Yeah, from BTS. This
from
is
BTS,
dark as hell.
But it's specifically Jin. They're extremely dark. It's not fun to talk about that. But BTS, I think this leads us to the perennial question of, are any individual members of successful groups, pop groups, able to be thems before going solo?
Well, I think they were like, is BTS a them even if all the members are still somewhat who's? And I think the answer is, of course, yes.
And I think it's hard to break out as an individual them unless you literally go solo. Like we've seen it with Little Mix. We've seen it with Spice Girls. Like with Backstreet Boys, like you don't really... Obviously, the fandoms have their faves and the fandoms know everything about the groups. But like you don't really get to exist outside of your group unless you explicitly leave it.
Right.
And so far, I don't really think that's happened. Like, I guess I would say the most famous one is Jin. That's
the
one I know.
In the past 6 months, I know Jin. I do think that's been a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like Butter. I like that song.
That's a great song. Oh, what trailer were they just in? Oh, Clifford. So funny. They're in a Clifford trailer.
We didn't talk about Clifford. That movie.
We don't need to talk about Clifford.
Is,
we don't need
looks
to talk about
good.
It.
I gotta see that movie. That dog is huge.
Catch us at Regal seeing a double feature of Boss Baby 2 and Clifford the Big Red Dog.
First of all, a dog that big in New York City, come on, it's cruel. And also, it's just crazy to me that the whole plot line of this movie is how big the dog is. All I gotta say is I hope his organs are as big as his rest of his body, because that can be a problem in lots of dogs. Let's not even go there.
Wait, what?
Oh my God, you gotta cut this because it's sad, but like...
Oh, I didn't know. That's so sad.
I'm sorry to tell you that.
Okay, next call.
Hey, Lindsay Bobby. Long time. So I unfortunately just walked out of the new Fast and Furious movie. I don't really recommend it. But they do finally go to space. That's not really a spoiler. And there's a ton of talent, you know, there's Charlize Theron, there's John Cena, there's Ludacris. But I was curious, about Michelle Rodriguez. She's been in all the movies. She's been in a ton of movies. She's an iconic actress. But I struggle to determine whether she's a who or a them. And so I was hoping that you all could shed some light. Thanks very much. Live and lead a laptop.
Michelle Rodriguez, who or them? Have not seen Fast 9 yet. I will call Michelle Rodriguez 1, 2, 3, them.
Them?
Yeah.
Yeah, them. I kind of think so.
Maybe we had this conversation whenever Widows came out. And I know that Fast 9, the Fast series, is one of the biggest franchises of all time. And I think that really helped solidify you as a them, even if you were kind of on the border as Michelle Rodriguez was. But I think the proof, beyond just the fact that she has led one of the biggest franchises of all time for now 9 movies, is kind of in Widows. Even though Widows was a bit of a flop, commercially at least, I think the way Widows was positioned and framed was like, look at this all-star
it
cast of like some of the best women like in Hollywood.
True.
And she was one of those women. She was a top woman. She was just right alongside, you know,
Viola
Davis.
So she's really proven that she can do like all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
She's always in like kind of action adjacent or like.
Well, that's how she got her start too, with Girl Fight. That was like her big opening.
Right. She's interesting.
A hometown hero too. She's from San Antonio.
Wow.
Yeah, I love to call out a hometown hero.
Never forget that she got DUI in Hawaii when she was filming Lost. Chaos. Remember
they
when she dated
all
Zac
got
DUI.
I mean, this is not an excuse, but like the Lost cast like went crazy in Hawaii.
They went
like
crazy.
They were a disaster. Okay, last call.
Hey, so I was watching Gas Station TV. As one does, and so Maria Menounos's Better Together lifestyle tip of the day was to dry your hair with a blow dryer brush, and the B-roll was of her, like, pretending to use the brush on her already dried, like, Addison Rae wannabe, like, little mini ponytail, and it was kind of difficult to watch. But my question is, are blow dryer brushes a who or a them? Thank you. Tim Tebow's fan.
Oh, I think I have an answer. I know about these things. I don't use a blow dryer brush.
I just love that you wanted to really take the initiative to start this call. You who've never used a blow dryer brush.
I was quiet. You weren't saying anything.
Okay, fine.
But I will say that, like, as someone who exists on the internet, I am familiar enough with that Revlon one because every time it goes on sale, you will see people being like, it's on sale. The Revlon one is back in stock or something. Like, get this hair dryer brush, this Revlon thing that is, like, amazing. All these people who use hair dryer brushes swear by it. Like, I know about them, but I still sort of have an answer here. 1, 2, 3.
Who?
I still think they're who's. Yeah.
They're kind of the who of, like, Frankenstein, you know, hair tools, hot hair tools.
Yeah.
Hair technology is very, very stunted. You know, we're behind. Yeah. I don't know. We're behind the times or something. It's almost like, weren't we promised hoverboards but for hair technology, right?
Weren't we promised flying cars, right?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Have you ever used one?
Oh, babe, I got one. I own one, of course.
Do you have the Revlon one?
I have that one. I use it about never. Maybe I've used it twice. I just, you know, it just felt like I needed it. And now I don't use it.
Because you have curly hair. When you use it, does it keep it curly or does it straighten it?
No,
like,
it's straightening
what is it.
It does the same thing that a brush
does the blowout
with a
thing.
Blowout does. Yeah, and it's supposed to make it easier.
Got it.
There you go.
Ugh, I can't believe we're ending on that call. What a dud.
Too bad. We're ending. We got
to
end.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Who's There. Keep calling in at 619-WHO-THEM. To leave questions, comments, and concerns, support us on patreon.com/whoweekly for twice weekly bonus episodes and your own call-in number, special VIP call-in number. Thank you to Katie and Eric of the Who's for providing our Rita theme song on Tuesdays, and we'll see you on Tuesday with another episode of the main show. Oh, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, please. Thank you so much. We love reading them. Bye.
Bye.
Hey. 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 So, it's me, Bibi.
Lindsay, you sound like Sophia Bush. Okay, crunch, crunch. Bye.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. Lindsay, you lost your voice and you sound exactly like Sophia Bush. And I thought, is this the new Sophia Bush One Tree Hill podcast? Live in La Vida, laptop. Crunch, crunch.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. I had to pause the pod because I just wanted to let Bobby know that Crocs also make my feet sweat like crazy. It's insane. Like, it's like a slip and slide. So, you're not alone. Okay, bye.
Hi, this message is for Bobby. I sympathize. I get it. Crocs make my feet puddles of sweat as well. I see you. I hear you. And you're not alone in this. Crunch, crunch.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. First time, long time? I can't believe I'm calling you about Crocs. Yes, Crocs do make your feet absolutely like garbage pools of sweat. I wore Crocs a long time when I was working retail, and it was truly disgusting the amount of skin that would end up in my shoes over time. And I wear them now as a nurse, and they're pretty sweaty. They get pretty grody. Yeah, they're gross. I don't know what else to say. I love them, but they're nasty. Keep a lesbian.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Long time. Grayson Chance was somebody who I bought his album, his first one, when I'm like 2 years older than him, so don't judge. Anyways, I left the CD in my mother's car, and she has, you know, the 6 CD holder thing at a time. So I guess she got sick of music on the radio one day and put on one of the random CDs that were in her car, and it was the Grayson Chance album. And she told me, like, when she saw me last, she's like, oh, I really love this Adele album you have in the car. And I'm like, that's not Adele, that's Grayson Chance. It just, I don't know how you mix the two up, but, yeah. Crunch, crunch.
Hi. I was listening to a Sam Sanders interview with Riley Keough. I think that's how you pronounce her name. I should have looked it up before this call, but here we are. Anyway, she is definitely, I can't do this. Oh, I can't hit pound to re-record. Ah! Sorry, Lindsay, Bobby. I'm too high for this. Goodbye.